Everybody wins. Lesson 2. Consciousness creates reality. When I first started exploring the idea that my beliefs, attitudes, and opinions could determine what was happening to me and might even be able to determine what was going on in my body, it was my only way to deal with what was supposed to be an incurable infection in my spine. Oh, I had heard all things are possible if only you believe they are, but I didn't know anybody who really believed that. Concepts such as your creative mind and your consciousness determines your reality were just hopes and wishes for me. I knew about the importance of positive attitude, but the idea that I could take charge of my creative mind and thereby take control of the circumstances in my life, now that was really out there. But what if it was true? Wouldn't that idea that your consciousness creates your reality be the only foundation that would allow you to be the creator of your life even when there is ample evidence that indicates it's too late? When I began, all I had to hold on to was an excerpt from the book Psycho-Cybernetics by the renowned plastic surgeon Maxwell Maltz, where he states that your self-image becomes the golden key to living a better life because of two important discoveries. First, all of your actions, feelings, behavior, and even your abilities are always consistent with your self-image. The second intriguing idea was your self-image, your consciousness, can be changed. This is the idea that we have a computer-like system within us that is goal-directed, action-oriented, and designed to get what's programmed into it. This computer-like facet of self has a complete mental blueprint or image of who we are. It may appear to be vague or very general when we try to examine it and know that it is complete and exact down to the last detail. This image of self is similar to a summary of all that we believe. It pertains to every aspect of our being: our physical characteristics, mental characteristics, our abilities and talents, even our hopes, dreams, and the results we produce. This blueprint influences, and many say, creates everything in our lives, including not only how we perceive the outside circumstances that surround us, but the circumstances themselves. We have different concepts or images regarding ourselves in different situations. We may perceive ourselves to be a good athlete and a poor student, or a good mother or father and an adequate son or daughter. We have thousands of different images for different situations. These perceptions of self are what we believe to be true about ourself and the world around us. For the most part, these beliefs were formed by our past experiences, our successes and failures, our humiliations and triumphs, what we read or observed, and to a great extent from what other people told us and how they reacted to us, especially in early childhood. This is the environmental conditioning that will be discussed in the next lesson. From all of this, we formed our perception of the kind of person we are and the makeup of the world we live in. Once an opinion or belief is formed, it becomes true as far as we are concerned. The situation may have been unavoidable. The data or input may have been totally in error. The incident may have been a freak occurrence. It doesn't matter. Once we record the information, we do not question its validity. And many times, we do not remember how or when we obtained the information in the first place. We just proceed to act upon our beliefs as if they were true. In other words, we act like the kind of person we think we are. This is not a new idea. It's been discussed for thousands of years. King Solomon, whose name is synonymous with wisdom, stated, "As a man or woman thinks, so is he or she." Buddha said, "All things we are is a result of what we have thought." The carpenter from Galilee simply stated, "As ye believe, so shall it be done unto you." If you believe you are a failure, the success-striving system within you will bring about circumstances to prove it. If you believe you are overweight, it will make sure that you stay overweight. You may be able to fight it consciously for a short time, but once you relax, your automatic guidance system will take over and put you right where you believe you should be. It's like being on a boat with an automatic pilot. If the autopilot is set to go north, you can take manual control of the steering wheel and turn it west. But as soon as you let go, the automatic guidance system will control and the boat will go north. All cases are not as clear-cut as the boat example. Our creative mind does not change the reality of the world around us, but it does filter the information being presented in such a way so it supports our present perception of truth. For example, a mother of a new child can sleep through all kinds of disturbances, such as the television, music, cars, and trucks going by, children playing in the neighborhood, or a myriad of other noises. But let her baby cry, and she is aware and awake instantly. This is the filtering system at work. Her creative mind filtered the information as unimportant to her until her baby cried. Then recognition took place, and action can follow because of her priorities. Have you ever noticed that when you buy a new car, on the way home from the purchase, it seems like everywhere you look, there is a car just like the one you bought? Everything in your line of vision is at all times being scanned by your unconscious mind for anything that is of interest to you. When you make a major purchase decision, like a car, this facet of you points out all the other cars like yours. It does this as support for the decision you made by inferring you were right. They bought the same kind. Not only will your unconscious mind point out things that support your decisions, it will not point out the things that do not support your position or view of the truth. If you believe there is no opportunity for increasing your business, the success facet of you filters the information available and will not point out new business opportunities. It will only point out the problems that substantiate your position that there is no opportunity for growth. Don't think that this facet of you is designed to limit you. It is neither there to limit nor build you up. It just does whatever needs to be done to get you to your programmed destination. This facet of your mind is not good or bad, positive or negative. It's simply a wonderful computer-like system that has been programmed and works to obtain the results of that program. As mentioned, it's goal or focus-directed and action-oriented. Your consciousness is your willing servant and carries out your program of beliefs with unerring precision. Remember, the basis for these self-image theories is that all of your actions, feelings, behavior, even your abilities are always consistent with your consciousness. And science is proving these theories true. Dr. Candace Pert is an American neuroscientist and pharmacologist. She is the author of a very empowering book titled Molecules of Emotions. In her writings, she suggests that the power of the mind over the body can be more accurately described as the mind becomes the body. The mind and the body are one. She states over and over that science has demonstrated the body is the actual manifestation in physical space of the mind. Your consciousness creates your body. She believes the biochemicals of emotions are the messengers carrying information to link the systems of the body into one unit that she calls the body-mind. She states that we can no longer think of thoughts and emotions as having less validity than physical, material substance. We must begin to see our consciousness as cellular signals that are involved in the process of translating information into physical reality, literally transforming the mind into matter. She ends one chapter in her book with this statement: "Knowing that my body responds to my thoughts and emotions calls for a new responsibility on my part. I can no longer wait to be cured by the medical community. Now I have the potential to consciously intervene and take an active role in the creation of my body." Dr. Pert calls each of us to step up in our acceptance of how our consciousness creates our realities, including our physical body. Can you imagine what it's going to be like for you as you become the creator of your life experience? Dr. Bruce Lipton is another scientist documenting the power of consciousness. He is an American developmental biologist who is best known for promoting the idea that genes and DNA can be manipulated by a person's beliefs. He is an internationally recognized leader in bridging science and spirit, a stem cell biologist and best-selling author of The Biology of Belief. Dr. Lipton produced breakthrough studies on the cell membrane, which is the outer layer of every cell. His studies revealed that this outer layer is an organic form of computer chip, the cell's equivalent of a brain. His research at Stanford University's School of Medicine revealed that the cell's environment that he refers to as consciousness or belief interacts with the membrane, the computer chip, and the membrane then controls the behavior and physiology of the cell by turning genes on and off. Let me repeat this. Lipton is saying your consciousness interacts with the membrane, the computer chip on every one of your cells, and out of that interaction, our consciousness controls the behavior and physiology of the cell by turning genes on and off. This realization allowed him to understand that not only could he take charge of the information and energy the cells of his body receive, he could also, by taking charge of his consciousness, take charge of his life. His consciousness could create the reality he wanted in his physical world. Dr. Lipton states that we are already the powerful creators of our lives and the world in which we live. And by taking charge of our consciousness, we can become the master of our own destiny. One of my favorite scientists, validating consciousness creates reality, is Dr. Amit Goswami, a professor of physics. Dr. Goswami is part of a growing body of scientists who in recent years have ventured into the domain of the spiritual in an attempt both to interpret the seemingly inexplicable findings of their experiments and to validate their intuitions about the existence of a spiritual or non-physical dimension of life. He is convinced, along with a number of others who subscribe to the same view, that the universe, in order to exist, requires a conscious being capable of feeling and perceiving to be aware of it. He claims that without an observer, physical reality only exists as a possibility. Bringing together evidence from recent research in cognitive psychology, biology, and quantum physics, Goswami is building a case for a new paradigm that he calls monistic idealism, the view that consciousness, not matter, is the foundation for everything that is. He summarizes his work in his book, The Self-Aware Universe, subtitled, How Consciousness Creates the Material World. His view is that everything starts with consciousness. That is, consciousness is the ground of all being. In other words, your free will is real. When you act in the world, you really are acting with the power to cause something to happen. But of course, the mystics have addressed this issue for thousands of years. In the Hindu teachings, it is held that there exists a universal mental principle, which is known as creative mind. They say the intention of this creative mind holds everything together and gives substance to physical form. Their teachings also state that each individual is possessed of a portion of this creative mind. And many of the mystical disciplines they teach deal with how to take control of this aspect of self. They, like many others, go on to explain that the makeup of our creative mind may be described as something like the blending or combination of our personal will and our imagination. They also say this taking control process is not easy. It's like trying to train a wild horse. But the payoff is worth it. For these mystical teachings suggest that the creative mind, when disciplined, has the ability to create material form without the need for physical activity. The achievement of this ability is said to be part of humankind's mental inheritance, to be used when we discipline ourselves to make use of what they call our God-like ability. An interesting term, godlike ability. In the 13th century AD, a renowned Hebrew scholar known as Moses ben Maimon opens his book, A Guide for the Perplexed, with a comment to clarify the statement in the Old Testament that man is made in the image of God. Note that he is a scholar of the Hebrew language, not of the dogma of Judaism. He goes on to explain in his book that the phrase, "Let us make man in our image," signifies not a physical likeness, but an intellectual likeness. He states that humankind has been given divine intellect. I wonder if this is what the Hindu teachings are referring to as our godlike ability. So here we are, exploring ideas that you can really be the creator of your own destiny. Granted, there is a wide variance in people's opinions about how much authority and power we have while here in form. And again, this is something you will need to decide for yourself. You will need to get past the specific words and concepts. You may need to get past some of your current beliefs, because you are looking at how powerful do you want to be? Where do you want to set your limits? If you want to be free and have the ability to create your life the way you want, you will need to come from something different than the evidence from your past and what's going on in your now. That's what the first lesson was about. Who do you think you are? Yet even as you come from that facet of self into your life, to have the ability and authority you want, you will need to explore the teachings regarding the power of consciousness, the power of your creative mind. Remember, science is pointing the way for us to believe in our own creative power. It's up to you. What would you like to believe about your ability to have the life you want? This is the second major choice point in taking back control of your life. Can you really take charge of the circumstances in your life, or can you only change your opinions about those circumstances? Where do you want to draw the line? This isn't just about theory. By using this program, you are exploring and applying how to step into being the creator of your life. To do that, you will need to make a choice about how much power and authority you want to accept. This is the "if it's to be, it's up to me" ideas I talk about in my book, The Hell I Can't. Do you want to believe that you are powerless over many of the things that happen to you? The definition of a victim? Somebody who experiences misfortune and feels helpless to remedy it? The example I used earlier about the psychiatrist saying I had to accept my human limitations demonstrates where well-meaning people can draw the line about our abilities. Although he, too, was coming from consciousness creates reality, he believed I could only change my opinions about the things that were going on. He did not believe I could change the things themselves. This process of discovering how powerful you are and how your consciousness works in the creation of your reality is not a one-night stand. It's a lifelong process of choosing, and you do not have to figure it out all at once. Just start with the idea that your consciousness can make a difference in the quality of your life. As you listen to these lessons with spaced repetition and follow through with the action steps to take charge of your creative mind, you will demonstrate that you have more power than you thought. Become aware of all the information that is available to you that supports the idea that your beliefs, attitudes, and opinions create your reality. And what you will find is more and more support for you being the creator of your life experience and the things that happen to you. As Albert Einstein stated, energy is everything, and that's all there is to it. Take charge of your mind and match the frequency of the reality you want, and you cannot help but get that reality. It can be no other way. Einstein goes on and states, "This is not philosophy. This is physics." So I ask you, who would you have to be able to explore your beliefs, your attitudes, and your opinions while being free to choose whether or not you want to keep them? This is your life we're talking about. Remember, this time around, you have a choice. Who would you have to be to begin to embrace the idea that your consciousness creates your reality? Action steps. Keep reading the power statements on a daily basis and make them real. This week, again, spend 5 to 10 minutes a day writing in your thoughts and ideas section of your journal. This week, explore what you think regarding your consciousness creating your reality. Remember, what's important is you paying attention to what your thoughts and opinions are. Write them out, and just notice what comes up as you explore within yourself. All things are possible if only you believe.